Welcome to another Monday at Flowery Branch, the Dan Quinn Coaches Show here with Dave Archer, Wes Durham, and the Falcon head coaches with us here in our first couple of segments. And Atlanta falls yesterday 33-30 in overtime to go 4-3 to the San Diego Chargers. And now Green Bay's here on Sunday, and the kick time is 4:25 at the Georgia Dome, second straight home game for Atlanta. And I know it's just a frustrating event that occurs. I mean, when you lose a game like that, it keeps you up at night, I'm going to guess.
It does. And, you know, you get frustrated, you get disappointed, and we were pumped to be back in front of our fans. They were great. And so for us not to come out the other end, we have a lead and didn't finish, yeah, that stung. And stung for the fans, stung for the team. And we this game this week cannot get here fast enough for us. I can tell you we're ready to get back to work right now.
Is it more frustrating? I don't know. When you lose games, frustration is just the right word, I think. But there were a lot of little things that kind of contributed to this. Some dead ball fouls, some blown assignments,
yep.
Some mistakes where the other team ends up with the ball. I mean, so you really don't put your thumb on anything. So what do you say to a team when there's maybe just little things here and there that make a win, make this thing a win?
Really to challenge everybody, can you get 1% better? Can you? And as you go through it, collectively we'll improve. But, like, the pre-snap fouls, that's our focus. We got a very veteran offensive line, and so for them to have that totally disappointed them. I was encouraged about us getting the ball. We scored on defense. We were able to get an interception. But yet on the other side, on third downs, we allowed some zones to open up where they were able to, you know, Rivers able to drill the ball and hit it, not converting at the end of the game. I don't regret at all the decision,
sure.
You know, the outcome, you know, that's what keeps me up at night, not the decision to go for it. I think we have one of the very best offenses in the NFL, and we're going to ride that train. And, you know, that we're going to stay aggressive. And so, like I said, I didn't lose sleep last night, not because of the call, it's because we didn't make it.
I thought it was interesting in your comments to the media earlier this afternoon, you were quick to point out a scenario last year.
I was.
That you thought a lot about, and that was the San Francisco decision, the field goal, not going for it.
Yep.
In a ball game, I think it was early November.
Yep.
And it's something that bothered you the rest of the year and then into the offseason.
It did.
So it's almost like a growing point for you with what you want this franchise to be.
It was,
under your
and
watch.
I wanted the players to know how much belief I have in them, how aggressive we're going to play. And so it was a time where I vacillated between trying to overthink the situation and at the end of it, it's the players. And I want them to know how aggressive we're going to play in all three phases. And so it doesn't mean we're going to go for it every time,
sure.
You know, on fourth down, but it does mean I believe in the team, and when we have our opportunities, we're going to let it rip.
Dan, real estate's so hard to acquire in this game if you're an offensive unit. And if you give some of it back, it
yep.
even makes it doubly tough, and I know that frustrated you. And then when you get down close and I try to explain that to a fan how difficult it is when you get closer to the goal line. When you get to 10, obviously when after Debo's interception, you expect
yep.
to score a touchdown there.
Yep.
But San Diego did a nice job in keeping you out of the end zone. How difficult is it to kind of navigate that last 10, 15 yards?
Yeah, and the closer you get, the less, you know, they use a middle field player, and how do you, you know, incorporate that player into it. So most teams have a real unique way they want to play what we'll call the low red zone. And offensively, we do as well. So we'll give them credit. And we thought we had a look on the very first play that we'd get in, but we do know this. We're going to capitalize on those opportunities when we get down low to get it in. So for us, I think we had 2 field goals in that time, and that's a big difference. We were ahead, you know, 27-17, I think, at the half, and could have been higher.
When you look at the way, in particular red zone offense, when you've got the ball,
mm-hmm.
whether it's the high red zone or the low red zone, what kind of looks are you getting week to week? I'm going to guess it's changing almost weekly, isn't it?
You have to be able to go through the progression because of the uniqueness of Julio.
Right.
And if there's a double that goes to him, then some other, you know, receivers or running backs or looks could be available. And that's what I love about Matt's game. You know, in this game, there was 8 different people that caught the ball. That's running backs and tight ends and wide receivers. And they've got a collective competitiveness about the offense, where they go with the ball, who's counted on. When it's thrown your way, you're asked to deliver. They all feel like they're an extension of each other. And so whatever package is out there, we're counting on that group to deliver.
Well, we talked about during the course of the broadcast yesterday too, Arch. To a degree, you had to be patient offensively yesterday. There were some things there you wanted to do early. It didn't quite work out. You had to almost buy time in order to start doing what you would normally do, I guess.
And we were great to see the big shot to, you know, Matt DeJulio early in the game. And the looks that we wanted, sometimes they're there, sometimes they're not. But when they are, that's when we want to go attack. And that's what Matt and Kyle are so good at, of working some things at the line of scrimmage, trying to get a good look for a good play. And Rivers was as well. And he found some zones and man looks that he liked, just like when we do it, and, you know, Matt and the guys do as well.
It's Dan Quinn, Coach's Show here on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Dan, I don't know if everybody takes into consideration. I know it's not an excuse. You got four rookies on the field a lot of time on defense. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it's in the middle of the field. Teams are trying to take advantage of the fact that there's some kids, even though they're extremely talented players and can run and do, they haven't seen very much. So they're trying to take advantage of that. How much does that not hamstring you, but maybe make you play a certain way so they can line up right?
Yeah, it's a fair question. And a lot of problems that happen offensively, defensively, it starts with communications. And that's where the first, the alerts that come up, this could happen on this formation. So the more reps and more turns that they get collectively as a group, just like the three of us, if we were on a basketball team, and the more we play, okay, you're here, the non-looks, the points that mean something, they're getting closer in that. So now they're just, you know, as a group of four guys who play in the low underneath zones, that's their, you know, just a few games together. Not an excuse for them. They've been trained at it. We love the speed and athleticism that they bring to the position. And let's face it, they wouldn't be out there if they hadn't played really well. They've got great support from their teammates, so we see the arrow going up with them. Although there were some mistakes in the game, we also recognize there's a lot of, you know, things that they bring to the team, too.
To the chemistry quotient, that's also the second time the three, Neil, Jones, and Campbell, have been on the field together in the regular season.
Yep.
It's only the second time. I mean, given that, you know, particular scenario, that's not bad, I guess.
You're able to play the style you'd like to play. They're able to match up in the man-to-mans, mm-hmm. and we're just going to continue to get better playing our zones. By the way, Jones got another turnover. He's got a knack for the ball. We put Campbell in man-to-man situations on the tight end a lot. And although the one at the end of the game he'd like to have back, where it was a second down play, he covered well. And Jones is able to match up on backs because of his speed. So we've got work to do for sure. But I can tell you that group is one that it's a very good rookie class.
How much of that group is helping your pass rush?
I'd say a significant amount.
Because of what they can do athletically?
Yep.
Okay.
And then the second part is that just like those four, the front is now played some time together. So we've got a lot of new players on the team from last year to this year. And having that mix of guys work together, especially defensively, has been a big thing. And I'm very pleased with in terms of how the pass rush is starting to ramp up.
I don't see, looking at it from my eyes and having watched a ton of tape in my day, that I don't see them making the same mistakes over and over again, which tells the layman I that the learning curve is pretty sharp for them.
Yep.
They see stuff, but they're getting fed a ton of information. The computer's
yep.
getting shoved
yep.
a whole bunch of stuff at them at game speed, and not saying you have to rationalize what they're doing, but from a perspective of looking at it from outside in, there is a learning curve
yep.
that's attached to these guys playing the game.
And you've probably heard this before, but the character is revealed under duress, and they've got great character, and they're not repeating the same errors. They know they're, you know, when a mistake occurred, and they're ready to go battle again, you know, right away. So we've got plenty of trust and faith and belief in them. We're disappointed, as you could imagine, mm-hmm. you know, in this game from a team standpoint. We know we've got work to do and another good opponent coming in, but we'll be ready.
Jacob Tammy's going to join us, by the way, in the player spotlight later here on the Dan Quinn Coaches Show with Dave Archer, West Durham, and the Falcon head coach. We're at Flowery Branch here. And I say that to also ask you about the veteran guys now after a couple tough ball games.
Yep.
You've got a handful of guys, both sides of the ball, special teams, all those areas, that can kind of do some off-field counseling, if you will, locker
yep.
room counseling this week to some of these younger guys who, you know, you're six games in, seven games in. Now all
yep.
of a sudden they're starting to feel the wear and tear. I had the four preseasons. You know where I'm going.
I do.
How important is that this week?
I think it's critical because they are the ones that set the player accountability. And getting your body right, getting the training, pushing each other at practice so you get the right look. So when you get to Sunday, you're ready to get rocking. So as a head coach, I couldn't have been more pumped to see the group we have in the team meeting this morning, like kind of raring to get going again, knowing that we have a very special group. And we let, you know, over the last 2 weeks, you know, games that we thought we could have won.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, that's where the frustration comes. But that type of grit going through it and staying committed to it, that's what it takes, and we've got a bunch that have it.
Dan, realizing that the ball comes out to the 25-yard line now when you take a knee in the end zone, I don't know that I've ever seen returners not bring the ball out on the goal line or 1 yard deep. That says a lot about that group that's covering kicks.
And they've had a lot of drive starts that start inside that, you know, the 20. It was great to see Hooper on the big tackle. Bosch placed one in that hit the returner, went out of bounds. So he also, by the way, had a monster kick to flip the field for like a 58-yarder that he fair caught. So the special teams, they're giving it its due. They're putting the time in. They're battling for one another, and it's really good to see.
That guy almost made the 58-yarder, too, at yep. 41 years of age.
It was another example where we're going to be aggressive. I think there was 18 seconds left. You know, the easy thing would have been to take a knee and play for overtime. And we thought we had the timeouts. Let's take a couple shots down the field. It was a terrific play by Julio to get it, to call the timeout. It's actually one that we work on in practice with, you know, how fast can you catch and declare and call the timeout. And I thought the offense executed that terrifically.
Now, by the way, the first play from your 25, and Dave said this on the air, and I agree now after going back and watching, I think you stunned San Diego. They had four guys around him, and he still made the catch.
That seems to be commonplace, you know, with who there's some activity around him, and oftentimes he comes down with it. So
yeah,
now, this is me talking, but can we get that videotape sent to the guy who was officiating the near sideline on the play prior to that? It's not Coach Quinn saying that.
No,
that's me
that's
saying
you.
That.
But the first down play was unbelievable too, and you were aggressive.
Yep.
I mean, stick it right in the middle of the field. You got the timeouts, right?
That's the belief we have in the guys,
yeah.
And we have the players to do it. And we have the guys that can get it to them. So we're not going to back off.
Jacob Tammy will be along shortly in our player spotlight segment. The Beasley sack, the defensive pressure, Claiborne, a fumble return for a score. That was off another Beasley hit as well. Man, I mean, seemingly in the last 3 weeks, this second-year guy from Clemson has really come on for you.
I think it's the confidence that's coming there too. But it starts during the week in practice. You can see the intent that he has. He's totally, you know, committed to working his stuff, to playing at his best. Dwight's been a good addition to him as well, of teaching him some things that he looks for. So having that, you know, teammate that can give you some ideas as well. But he is flying off the ball, and that's what he has as his biggest attribute is that get-off, and, you know, where he can get to those 2 or 3 yards, his first couple steps, he can really haul. So we're encouraged by the progress that he's making, and I think the arrow is just going up.
Yeah, that group, Dan, has been fun to watch here over the last 3 weeks. As it seems like all the efforts that you and Brian Cox have put in to try to get them dialed in on some of these stunts, the ET stunts and things, where the timing is now starting to come together,
yep,
with that group, it's really affecting how people are trying to pass protect.
And the more of the third downs that we get in these long yardage, that's better. So we had some in the first half that we played well and not so well in the second half. But I am encouraged by this group. They're putting the work in, and you're seeing that improve on the field.
There were some moments we've been fortunate to see it the last couple of seasons. You guys build that picket line on third and long right along the first down line.
Yep.
There were a couple of moments where guys lost where that was, and
yep,
that allowed San Diego to convert. Those are some of the mental errors you'd like to see kicked out.
Yep, and we call those landmarks. And so when you're playing a zone, where is your landmark, you know, as it relates to the first down chains? Knowing that you don't want any, you know, throws that are, you know, if they're inside or underneath you, you go and make the tackle, and that's often the time that happens when you're playing zone. They check the ball down or throw it inside, you make the tackle. So when you jump up on one, they throw it behind you, that's where you can get, you know, most frustrated.
Is some of this the youth, some of it the system, I mean, just the growth period that's coming along? And I ask you that because, I mean, I know you guys put the system in Seattle. You've been a part of a lot of different staffs where complex defense goes in or simplified defenses go in. Is some of this just the normal highs and lows of doing something like this?
I'd hate to say that it's normal because the group that we have, I think they can be really good.
Okay.
And, but let's make sure we can nail it where you don't have one, Arch doesn't have one, I don't have one that we let up, because collectively we can be really good. And the more time we put in together, mm-hmm, the more the communication will improve, and the scheme's on point, and these guys, players, it's going to keep continuing to work their technique on point, and we'll let the process take care of itself.
Tevin went down yesterday with a strain of the hamstring and was not able to return, and Devontae really picked it up. Knowing both those guys carry the load together, all of a sudden it's all on Devontae.
Sure.
Did that affect you guys? In what way did it maybe affect you in the second quarter from a play-calling standpoint? Did it hurt you in any way?
I guess at the end it hurt us. I thought we were right there finishing. We had four runs in a row. We had a penalty that knocked us back, and then a second one. But Freeze able to handle it, you know. And to be honest with you, if it had been the other way, Tevin would have.
Yeah.
Both of them are totally have been relied upon through their college career as that, and both of them have had been the guy when the other one was injured here. Mm-hmm. So it just so happened that Free was able to step up, and that's part of him being fresher, that he's able to, okay, my buddy's down, I'll handle the load.
It's such a copycat league, it seems, Dan, when I see formations that are the same that you saw the week before, and certainly San Diego tried to get some mileage out of that trip set to the field. Yep. With the tight end in the back and the boundary. I didn't think they were as successful. Maybe they had a couple angle routes, I guess. Yep. With the back over the middle. Are you seeing more and more of that where people are copycatting when they pick something up on tape?
And that's not unusual, you mm-hmm. know, that we see some things. This worked this week and this worked this week. Let's see if we add that to our package. It happens on the defensive side, too. You may see, they've tried to, you know, guard Julio in this way or try to do something, you know, in the run game. So not unusual. The looks that we have each week, you know, you prepare for them, and then there's always changes that happen in game. And we call those unscouted looks, the ones that are new, but sometimes they're actually from the previous opponent.
It's interesting because not only the carryover week to week from your opponent, the carryover from the other guy too.
That's right.
Right.
That's why it's important that you keep self-scouting your own system. Mm-hmm. These were a problem. This could show up again. And we call them like copycat plays. Okay, someone saw it and they run it again. So it's important that you keep on track of your own strengths and weaknesses, knowing that, you know, this play may show up again.
All right, the fans sitting at home and they're saying, okay, Phillip Rivers had some success throwing the ball. Here comes Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
And Aaron Rodgers, we don't know who Phillip Rivers' receivers are, although you knew who they were and the people inside football knew who they were. Here come a bunch of guys, the fans know who they are.
Yeah.
How do you defend a group like this when you talk about Aaron Rodgers and this receiver core? Obviously, that work is going to take place over the next few days. But as you look at Green Bay, just kind of a thumbnail of what you see and what potentially problems they present.
Well, we've got a lot of respect for what they do. They have a real way to attack. I thought Mike's done that the whole time there. And just from coaching against them through the years, the shots down the field that they'll want to take, the line of scrimmage, the use of the cadence, I think, has been terrific for them. The way they feature the tight ends, the slot receiver with Cobb and Nelson, they know how to attack, you know, so we'll have to make sure that our rushers, our ways to affect Aaron has got to be on point. But it's definitely a challenge that we're pumped for. And to get a chance to do it here at home, that helps a bunch, too.
And a great opportunity for your fan base here in Atlanta to affect the cadence situation.
No doubt.
He's not going to be able to go to hard count. He's going to have to go to a silent
snap
count, which is going to be in our favor.
And,
right?
And it totally should be, and that's why it stung so much. We were so pumped to have the crowd into it on third down like they were. And we'll need that again. So let's make sure when this thing kicks off, we're all there in our seats early this week.
They have had, by injury, a lot of upheaval at running back.
Yep.
To the point where I think they signed Nile Davis.
Yep.
And another guy.
Traded for him. Yeah.
Traded for Nile. Yep. Davis and brought a guy back, Don Jackson, I think, a guy who might have been in camp with him.
Yep.
Does that matter? Is there anything reflective upon that? Maybe two guys that haven't carried the ball for them, you're going to have to watch on tape this week or figure out who they are.
And the system likely remains the same.
Okay.
But how you feature the players within it, they've used Montgomery there as well.
Yeah.
He's got, running back experience. They've used Cobb there for years, and you guys know his background at playing running back at Kentucky and how explosive he is. So in their last game, they threw it more than, you know, they generally did. But the system likely stays the same in how they want to feature a different player, whether it's a receiver that moved over or a new player in. It's one position that you can, get a guy up to speed pretty quickly.
What do you like about Aaron Rodgers? I know he's the other quarterback, but there's some there. He's a competitive sucker,
no
question about it. But but his ability to get the ball out, those kind of things.
I think it's his release to me. And I've said it before where oftentimes I feel like he throws a football like the rest of us throw a baseball, where he can get it out and, you know, as a second baseman or a shortstop, mm-hmm. where he's ready to turn two, he can do that with a football. The windup is not long. He's able to just, you know, get it to the right guy at the right spot. So we've got to affect him for sure, both with disguise, both with the rush. So great matchups for us, ones, like I said, we're looking forward to.
Forgive me for asking this. Is this the first time you've seen Green Bay since the Monday night game?
No. When I was in Seattle, we played them in the NFC Championship game in 2015. 14.
Okay. So there was the Monday night game, and then there was the another
yeah,
one.
Yeah, a couple ones there, yeah. So they know how to sling it. And he is a very competitive guy.
Yeah.
And it's always been that way with them. And tough outfit on the defensive side, a 3-4 team. With I know Dom Capers well, their play caller on defense, and always aggressive in terms of style. Both their offense and their defense are very highly ranked, you know, in a lot of areas. So good outfit, and like I said, one that we're totally looking forward to.
When you get a guy like Clay Matthews talking about their personnel, he's played. They moved him inside for a while. Now I think he's back out on the edge.
Yep.
And he'll in third down, he steps up on the line of scrimmage and rushes the passer, much like Vic does for you guys. What do you do with a guy like that?
When you have that kind of versatility, you better know where he is and how you're going to identify him. Does he belong to the offensive line? He's not a guy that you're looking to put a back on because of, you know, his ability to rush. So left side, right side, inside blitzer. You can tell he's a football guy because you can't play that many positions and not have great instincts. So he's another one we've been really, you know, always through the years just very impressed with.
It's interesting to look at, and you know this because of structure principles on both sides. They've done a lot of changing around some of those veteran guys. I mean, just in 2 years' time, they've moved a lot of guys in and out of that roster. There have been some guys hurt, obviously, who played in the game 2 years ago, Atlanta played, but there's still a lot of movement in that team.
There is, and it's totally, you know, the versatility of playing in a 3-4 front. Who are the rushers? How are they using their corners? The receivers and the tight ends have been a real factor for them, the way they use Nelson and Cobb and Adams and Rodgers, so the tight end Rodgers. So a good mixture of guys. They'll play a number of different packages. I always thought they've done a good job at that, and we'll be prepared for all of them.
You got a very mature young group on this team. Important for your veterans to impart on what needs to happen this week, because I don't think it's necessarily a message that maybe necessarily needs to be said, but you are dependent on those veterans to get that done.
I am, and it's a terrific group. And the way they lead, when I see those guys in the room, there's the right guys in our locker room to make a difference, to give a tip, and they will totally play for one another. That much I know, and that's why we're so anxious to get right back to it this week.
Perfect. Coach, thanks as always.